Today, as the church celebrates Our Lady of Lourdes, the apparition of Our Lady as the Immaculate Conception, I have to remember that it was just a few years prior to this, in 1854, when Our Lady's Immaculate Conception was dogmatically defined, and so it's not obviously the church trying to say she was conceived in 1854, but rather, in this case, the theology had been worked out to the point that that could be stated infallibly. That's what a dogma implies. So a doctrine is a teaching of the church. A dogma is an infallible teaching of the church. And so that she had been declared infallibly, to have been conceived immaculately, and then 4 years later, she appeared to Saint Bernadette and proclaimed herself to be the Immaculate Conception. And so we see then the what follows from that. We have the angel greeting our Blessed Lady as being full of grace, and that fullness of grace is because there was nothing in her that was not grace. Right from the first moment of her conception, she was absolutely filled with grace. And they have to remember in that passage, Our Lady's name is not there. It just simply says, Hail, full of grace. And the Greek word that is used there, it's the only place that it's used. St. Paul talks about fullness of grace, but he uses three words, just like what we would, full of grace. That's not what the angel says. He simply calls her kecharitomene, one word. And Pope John Paul II said it was as if what he was doing was addressing the very essence of her being. So he didn't use her name because he spoke of who she is, the very essence of who she is, that is the fullness of grace. And so we have that point of the angel of God revealing to us Our Lady's Immaculate Conception in that way. And then because, of course, being without grace, she has been, well, she started out loving more than any of us and all of us combined. And of course, her love just grew more and more and more, always as absolutely perfect as it could possibly be. Which is why then the church would give us this reading from the book of Revelation or the Apocalypse, and that is that a woman was seen in heaven, clothed with the sun, moon on her head, a crown of 12 stars, and so on, because her love is perfect as any creature can be. God's love is absolutely perfect, Our Lady's is relatively so, but she was from the first moment of her conception, as I said, always perfect, complete in love. And consequently, as her love grew more and more, and therefore exponentially, remember St. John of the Cross tells us that one act of perfect love is greater than everything else that we have done in our entire life combined. All the acts of charity up to that point, that one act of perfect love, so you make it to spiritual perfection, and you do one thing at that level, that's worth more than everything you've done in your entire life combined. Our Lady started out with more than that. At the moment of her conception, she had more than that, which is why what she has done is worth more than not only what you or I have done, but it's worth more than all of us and all of the saints and all of the angels in history combined. The only one who could do more, obviously, is God, and his is perfect and infinite. But Our Lady's love, because of that grace that was given, so that she could be the worthy mother of the Son of God, and who loves more than a mom. And so her love for God was absolutely as perfect as it could possibly be. She continues to pour out that love upon us. Remember in that beautiful medal that she asked to have made, the miraculous medal as it's known, because there were so many extraordinary things that happened. If you look at that medal and her hands, you see the lines coming out for hands, and she was asked what that was. She said, those are all the graces that people reject. the graces that God is giving to the world that people reject. If people are rejecting them, that means those graces are there for other people to be able to receive. So you can pray for that. You can ask for some of those graces that other people have rejected, that God wants to give to the world so that souls can be converted, so that people will truly love the Lord the way that they ought. And they're not being received, even though they're being given. So we can be that place of reception for the grace. Now, that said, we know, of course, Lourdes is known for its healing, and just to see how this can work in us, because we are so pathetic sometimes. There's a man from this diocese, remember it was about 20 years or so ago, it's a priest, I won't tell you who it was so he doesn't get inundated, but a good priest. This man was dying, had a family, half a dozen kids. They were very young. And some things happened. He wound up in a wheelchair. He was in so much pain, they just had him totally doped up. There was nothing he could do. He just wanted to die. This priest decided, we're going to take you to Lourdes. Now, he was in no condition to be able to get on a plane and go to Lourdes, so he fought it. If you would know who this priest is, it doesn't matter. Once he makes up his mind, that's what he's going to do. And he's not only just that way, but he's got one of those personalities that can get away with all kinds of stuff the rest of us can't. Guy will literally walk up to people in a restaurant and say, are you wearing a brown scapular? Well, if you're not, here, you should put one on. If I did that, they would punch me. But he can get away with it because he's got that kind of gregarious personality. It becomes important, not only because he wouldn't take no for an answer, drags this guy over to Lourdes, all the way, the man told me himself, he was here for Mass yesterday, and he was telling me himself, he said, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be there. Even when we got there, all I wanted to do was die. I just wanted to just put me back on the plane and let me go home and die. Well, this priest wasn't willing to do any of that. They get there, and of course, there's this huge line. Well, he's not going to sit there for that. So the priest just goes to the front of the line. Says, well, this friend of mine needs to get into the bath. Well, you know, well, being who he is. Okay, Father, that's fine. They let the guy in. They put him in the bath, and all of a sudden he says, all these things started happening. And he said he got out of the bath, and he was shocked at how much better he was. But it wasn't complete. So they went back the next day. Priest did exactly the same thing. Went right to the front of the line. They let him in once again. The man was completely healed. He's got all the letters from all the doctors. He showed me all these things 20 years ago. All the doctors saying there is no explanation for this, naturally. But I say all that to be able to say, here's somebody who was offered this grace and he fought it every step of the way. Not probably unlike most of us. Our Lady is offering all those graces. God is offering them through him. She's the mediatrix of all graces. So God is giving the world all these graces. And people don't want them. We fight them. So even when I say you can ask, those graces are there, many of us will have all kinds of excuses for why we don't. It's like sometimes we have to wonder just how pathetic we can really be. I don't know if I really want to know the answer to just how pathetic we can really be, but it's pretty bad. So all those graces are there. Don't fight them. Just like this man. I mean, again, he wasn't going to Lourdes willingly. This priest just wouldn't take no for an answer and literally forced him onto the airplane and forced him into all these different things and forced him into the bath. And God healed him. To this day, he's perfectly healthy and doing fine. So, God's graces are there if we're willing to receive them, if we're willing to open our hearts. That's what it really requires. And if God has to bring us there kicking and screaming, well, that's what he'll do. But it works a whole lot better if we don't do it that way. If we just willfully open our hearts to be able to receive the graces he wants to give. That was Our Lady's disposition, obviously, from the first instant of her existence. Her heart always completely open, her heart always completely loving God. And while obviously we can't do this anywhere near what Our Lady did, we can still strive for that kind of disposition, to have our heart open, to quit fighting God, and to cooperate, to be able to open our hearts to receive those graces so that we can love him in a manner that's similar to Our Lady, that is, as much as we possibly can.